So today, people are all worried about artificial intelligence. We've already talked about AI a little bit. Well, I'm here to tell you, the robots are already here. I found one today, a real live robot, and turned out I had to take my kid to the doctor. He had eye surgery a couple years ago. We kind of thought he had a new eye thing. I saw the him going cross-eyed again. I went, oh shit. And his eye was hurting yesterday. And of course, the wife, she's a medical person, so go to the doctor. So we run to the doctor, and it was so interesting because Max is 8 years old. He likes to spin around in chairs. He likes to throw things. He wants to swing hammers and ball bats and all that kind of stuff. So the eye doctor comes in, and clearly not a specialist in just children. I don't think we have children's eyeball doctors here in little old Cape Girardeau. So you got to go to St. Louis for that kind of thing. And that's actually what we're used to. So Max is in the chair, and she walks in, and she goes, "Greetings, humans." Actually, I don't even think she did that. Her programming must have malfunctioned. Yeah, she didn't even say greetings. She just acknowledged, humans in the room, kind of like Arnold does in Terminator 2, where you could see like the outline, like the little, it's all red vision, but it's a white outline of all the humans, like detecting human interaction or humans in room. And so she walks up to Max. She doesn't say hi. She doesn't say, what's your name? How old are you? What grade are you in? And this is where it gets weird to me. Like, I'm trying to get my head around this, that even if you don't want to be around kids, and God, I totally understand. I can see why. I mean, this morning I wanted to get away from one pretty bad. I can totally understand why a person would want to get away from a kid. But if you have to deal with them, especially in a professional manner, wouldn't you, as a robot, go, load children protocol? Wouldn't you go, pretend I am interested in this life form? Contains water and excessive energy. And so you'd think it would say, the robot would say, yeah, what grade are you in? How tall are you? Who would win? Hulk or Skeletor? I mean, you know, shit like that. I'm making this up. I don't know. I mean, it's not like I'm good with kids or anything. I don't have any magic, ability in this regard. But I think most of us who are paying attention know that there's a certain thing. And, you know, you don't have to like change your voice. That's something I've never done. You know, I've had my kid's 8, and even when he was a little baby, I didn't go, well, I may have made noises, sound effects, but I didn't go like, oh, you're really so baby. Like, some people will change their voice with a kid. With Max, I've always been like, hey kid, come over here. We're gonna play monsters. You know, that type of thing. But so you don't have to fake it like excessively. Like all you have to do is act interested. So this robot, this was a female model, and so yeah, she didn't develop any rapport at all with Max. She goes, read these letters on the wall, and he read them. She goes, you know, place your face in this microscope device. Okay, she asked like two questions that were only medical, nothing else. How long has the ailment been bothering you? Thank you. Probably didn't say. I don't think she said thank you either. That would have been too humane. And so when it came to dun dun dun, the eye drops. Now Max had surgery 2 years ago. We had to do eye drops like 3 or 4 different times leading up to the surgery. He's got an issue with eye drops. The idea of just dunking water in his eyeball or any water-like substance in his eyeball, he's not having it. And he went in a complete meltdown. He's grabbing onto the chair for dear life. And we're basically debating, like, are we going to have to rape these eye drops into this kid's eyes? Like, are we going to have to hold him down and shove this stuff in his eye? And nobody wants to do that. And so you try, but we have no rapport. We have no... We have no trust built up at all. And so the cyborg goes, you know, like, there will be no pain. And then Max is like, fuck you! Fuck you, there'll be pain, all right, you son of a bitch, you fucking... Basically, it's Sarah Connor. He'll kill us all! Ah! And never, never did this cyborg doctor ever say, come with me if you want to live. Not once. Didn't even try that. And so the only comforting thing she said was that if you cry too much, we'll have to do it twice. And it's like, well, okay, that is not going to help either. I mean, this kid is trembling, he's shaking, he's cringing, he's in a ball. I didn't know what to do. And I tend to be a tough it out type of person. And things suck real bad, you just do them anyway, get therapy later. You know, and I talked to a dad the other day, and he was talking about his kid was in a similar spot with a shot. Full-blown, what do you call it when you roll up in a ball? I forgot the name. I mean, the full-blown fight or flight, like, this is not happening, period, mode. And he said, we're just going to have to skip the shot. So that particular dad is a better dad than I am. Didn't make his kid go through the hell. And you know, and his kid avoided the therapy. Now, you could argue, you know, what do you do? This is one of those parent arguments. And this is a part of parenthood that no one told me about. That there is like a philosophical chess match that goes on at least once a week, I would say, where you have to make a big decision. There are no books. Books are written by pieces of shit almost exclusively for parenthood. No one who's any good at all. I mean, it's way worse than, like, you know, if you can't hack it, teach it, or whatever the sayings are. I'm butchering that pretty bad. But teaching is for those who don't do that type of thing. It does seem like that's the case with books. I've read a couple baby books, and I was just like, you fucking idiots don't know anything. And I get it that every kid's different, every situation's different, every parent's different, blah, 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 blah. But it's staggering how little advice you find on things like this. And maybe I'll go back and find some article from whatever, and it'll be somebody that, you know, feeds their kid by, you know, chewing up seeds in their own mouth and then spitting them in the kid's face. Like, you'll run into those kind of people, and you're like, whoa, you can't even check the mail. I don't think I need any advice from you. And so, you know, but you don't want to be your dad either. So I don't want to be my dad either, where you know, take the belt and beat the shit out of him. That'll teach him. Like, you don't want to do that either. And so it's very complicated figuring out, what do I do in this situation? And by myself, it's just me and Max, the cyborg, and this other girl who's actually human. Thank God she was there. Thank God we had a human being in the room, like a woman and who had like that gentle touch. Like, I don't know. I try to be like, it'll be okay, Max. And Max knows full fucking well that if I say it'll be okay, it's not okay. He knows that means panic, because Dad never says it's going to be okay. Maybe that's on me, I guess. So what I've been thinking about too, of course, again, no preparedness as a parent, but in addition to not having a clue what to do, I've been thinking about this doctor. Like, and maybe this doctor just doesn't deal with a lot of kids, but you'd think, okay, this Dr. Cyborg clearly has like a fast enough processor to get through eyeball medical school. She got her degrees and passed her tests. You know, that's not easy. So why not just find a program for to effectively navigate the waters of childhood eyeball drops? Like, you'd think to yourself, order that program, download it soon. But I guess did she never encounter this situation before? I just don't get the idea of somebody that's clearly, I would say she's on the spectrum or whatever. I'm giving her robot shit, but she's on some kind of spectrum where she doesn't feel emotions or whatever. And it just seems like in through life, you would learn to at least fake it for all the reasons that a robot would, to achieve some kind of goal. There is some programmatic outcome that needs to take place, and she just didn't ever bother. But here's what I don't understand. You know, I went through school and with, you know, a lot of physics majors, and engineers tend to be more, in general, take a beer can, smack it on your head. There's plenty of those in engineering land. Like, engineers still get some ass, you know. Physics land, and of course, my degree is engineering physics, so I kind of half and half, I guess, but maybe I'm that guy that doesn't get laid either. But yeah, physics guys just don't seem to get laid much. You don't find too many, like, jock stud monster truck driving, you know, muscle flexing, you know. You don't, the physics majors don't tend to do pull-up, have pull-up contests and shit. All right, so you see a lot more of that with engineers. So anyway, it staggers me that at first, whenever I went to school, I saw a lot of people on the spectrum, and that's fine. Like, and I need to say this right off the gate. My grandma was batshit crazy. My mom's mom. God knows what happened to her. I probably will spare all that for another day, but she was fucking crazy. Me and my brother would be watching TV. My brother's a little bit younger than me. Let's just say I'm 10. He's 8. And my grandma, this was normal. We're watching cartoons or whatever at 3 o'clock. And then my grandma would just kind of zone in, like flip a switch. And she'd have like a change of tone in her voice. And she'd start talking to Henry Ford. Or she'd start talking to like the like dead relatives. Wasn't casting a spell or anything. You look over there and you go, what the fuck is that? And over time, you know, you kind of, and I grew up with that, and it was normal. And then, believe it or not, and if I said, hey, Granny, and you'd see kind of like sort of startle slightly, and then she'd go, what? And I'm like, can I have some cookies? And she's like, oh, go make you some. Like, it was just a switch you flipped. And so Granny just had this mode. Basically, if you zone out, like I zone out, my kid will catch me sometimes just staring out into the field or, you know, just staring out in oblivion, usually only because I'm bored as hell. I don't tell him that part, but I'm supposed to be watching him do something, you know, some activity, like watch him like drop a leaf or something. I get bored and he's like, Dad, you're zoning out. Well, my grandma did that, but she also talked to Henry Ford while she did it. So there's nothing wrong with being a little crazy, a little fucked up. My whole life I've been very accepting of people that are not on the beaten path. It's fine. It's no big deal. Pretty tolerant of almost everybody. Doesn't do anything evil, you know. So do whatever you want. That's kind of one of my things. So, but in school, you ran into these people that were clearly on some kind of spectrum, and you would see it. You got these physics problems where a guy's got two bungee cords and he jumps off the side of a cliff, and one of the bungee cords is so and so tension, and the other one is another tension, and blah blah blah. And what speed will he be in 9 seconds? I mean, that was shit we had to do. I don't remember how to do it now, although it'd be fun to do it. I like those kind of problems. And I've got like two pieces of paper, you know, maxed out all my math, my equations. I've got boxes drawn around shit. I'm really trying to knock this thing down. And then one guy in class, little Fred, I look over. He has a calculator, like a cheap one, not even as good as mine. Like, wasn't even an engineering calculator. It's like barely a scientific calculator. And nothing. He didn't have a pencil. And he looks over at me and he goes, did you get, 8 meters per second? And I go, yeah. And he goes, cool. It's like, God damn. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, seriously, 2 pages. And I'm writing small, too. 2 fucking pages. Not like a lot of empty space either. Like, I was maxing out my paper. Like, I mean, if I was doing it neat, it'd be like 4 pages. This guy just did it all in his head. And turned out he was actually funny and fairly normal. I mean, he was a good guy. I need to follow up on my old Fred there. But so I see those kind of people. And I mean, he was on the spectrum. He just said, yeah, I'm on the spectrum. That explains why I'm a dipshit. I'm like, well, you're clearly not a dipshit. You're fucked up, but you're not a dipshit. But anyway, so why doesn't, and another thing, I saw other people that were very introverted. And I would say on the spectrum, you can just, but their intelligence alone, or the way they approach the world. Had a buddy, Kyle, same thing. Remember, I'm like 36. These guys are like 18. So this is already fun for me. I'm like Billy Madison almost. And so Kyle is this guy whose IQ is probably 700, but he doesn't talk. And I never really seen him do anything like stupid. Like sometimes you think of somebody so smart, they like can't quite navigate like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, like that type of thing. He never had that problem either. He could still make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, I don't think I've ever seen him make a mistake on much of anything. But just socially, he was just very, very reserved. He just was cautious. He was, you know, I guess afraid that people would, I don't know, I think he was afraid he's going to get rejected by people, probably. And to be, I have that. I think most people have it, but I definitely have it too. If I'm around my in-laws are, you know, different than me, and it's okay. I don't feel comfortable around the in-laws much. And so I just don't talk much. I just bite my lip. And of course, most people know me. I don't shut the fuck up. So hence the podcast. It gives me another excuse to talk to somebody. And so, sort of. So anyway, I get that. So yeah, this guy, and then like 3 years in, a switch was flipped. And he was cracking, you know, dick jokes like crazy. The guy ended up being hilarious. He's a friend. I love that guy. Good old Kyle. So he's a, you know, genius. Like I said, his IQ's off the charts. And he seemed like he was on the spectrum. Maybe he is. But knowing Kyle, he found a way to beat it. And so I guess that's my question is this doctor. And again, I don't want to shun the doctor. Like she did fine. She performed sort of. I guess we'll get into that for a second. I don't want to be too mean to the doctor. I don't want to feel like I don't have gratitude. I'm thrilled that we had somebody that could look at his eyeball and say, okay, we're fine. Like I'm not unappreciative, but I'm trying to get my head around the spectrum-y side of this, the cyborg side of it, where you don't figure out how to confront your demons, I guess. Like, this chick never bothered to say, you know, at least around kids, to be effective at my job, I need to run this particular procedure. And I think that's what's strange to me. It's not so much that she's got some kind of emotional turn-off switch that's never been turned on. She's lacking in emotions. Fine. I mean, I probably have some of that some of the time. I don't know. But the problem was it did affect competence because, you know, my damn kid's going to need therapy on this. She had nothing. When Max started freaking the hell out, she had nothing. And, I mean, is it her job to comfort children or to inspect eyeballs? Well, both. If, you know, that's one of the things that you don't really see in life. But in order to be a great, I don't know, engineer, well, you got to be able to communicate. Turns out you got to talk to people all the time about technical shit. They make it sound like it's a bunch of introverts, you know, a bunch of weirdos, you know, hacking at 4 a.m. all by themselves or whatever. There's some of that, but you have to be able to talk to people. You have to. And, like, that's something you don't talk about. So there's always these peripheral, there's always these side jobs, side skills you got to have. And this chick didn't have them. And, again, I'm not mad about it. I wish my kid did not go through a traumatic experience. It fucked him up this morning. I didn't want to do that to him. He certainly didn't want it done to him, and I didn't know what to do. Maybe I should have called it. And it turned out they were just looking to find out if there was a scratch on his eye, because his eye hurt. And they didn't find a scratch and said, nope, okay. Well, that's all that means is we don't have a scratch. Like, it wasn't like if there's no scratch, then there must be damage inside and need surgery. So the information that we were really pushing to find was we were testing if a really minor thing happened to him that would have just worked itself out anyway. We were testing for that, and we found out that no minor thing happened to him. And so no actions were done. In other words, now that I think about it, this is bad. Now that I think about it, this test was nothing more than to figure out if we should do nothing or do nothing. Okay, that's a little weird. Why the hell did we do that? Because if the test was positive, maybe if he had a scratch and it hurt for, you know, and this is the debate. You're talking to an 8-year-old. So his eye hurt all day is what he told me and his mom. And then when he tells the doctor, it hurt for like a few minutes. Now, he's probably trying to avoid some kind of, going into the pocket knife type operation. Knowing him, he's trying to downplay it, just so that he doesn't have to get, so they don't pull the scalpel out. That's a possibility too, but he was definitely underplaying it. But regardless, from the doctor's standpoint, they were checking for a scratch out of their own curiosity. I guess if it's confirmed a scratch in his eye, maybe they put some drop, you know, they do a thing, but because it only hurt for like a little while, according to his latest assessment, Max's assessment, an 8-year-old assessment, then since it only hurt for a little while, you think, well, maybe this is no issue. And so anyway, I don't know, what a disaster, but it's traumatic for everybody. I'm used to being traumatized. I'm a dad with an 8-year-old, but I just wanted to rant and tell this story about how I'm curious how a doctor doesn't have any bedside manner. And like, I don't think of myself necessarily, I don't know, I'm weird. Am I a people person? I don't know. I could live just fine without them. And I sometimes miss them. It's really kind of complicated. I like getting drunk with them. What is that? I only want to be drunk with my friends. I don't want to interact with anyone crappy. What do you call that? I heard that the definition of introvert was that you got energy by being alone. Like, being alone energized you, which I think it does. Like, right now I'm alone, and I'm feeling pretty good. But I've also heard that extroverts get energy from being around people. And I definitely get wore out by people. So maybe I'm that guy. I'm the introvert. But I definitely get energy from my friends. So I don't know. You guys work that out. So yeah, there wasn't a big strong point to this podcast other than to say it's very interesting that you could be so competent that you can pass every eyeball test on your medical eye doctor optometrist degree thing. You can get your MD, but you weren't competent enough to need for that one skill you really needed today. And in fact, she probably could have been a kind of okay, kind of a shitty eyeball doctor if she had some semblance of bedside manner. Then I would have given her a score that was just radically higher as a doctor. So I don't know, it's interesting when you kind of deal with that, but maybe she can't help it. Maybe it just never occurred to her. And maybe even after seeing that situation where Max is screaming and kicking and crying, maybe she just went mission accomplished, successful assessment of situation. I don't know. And then, of course, that's the big thing nowadays. You know, like, I might be an asshole, right, for making, how dare you keep calling this person a robot? Oh, you sick asshole. Like, no one saw, like, where transgender is gone. You know, like, there were times 20 years ago where all the lefties making all their movies would totally make fun of the transgender thing. I've heard that was it Happy Gilmore? I think supposed to have some scene with massive puke in it. And now the lefties, you know, they crucify you for something like that. And so most likely, I'm going to be crucified for this in 2024 when the attack is on people that I don't think I even made fun of. I don't know. You guys decide what make fun of means. But all I know is if you act robotic-like when you need to not be, then you better have a goddamn program to fake it. I don't think that's criminal. What do you guys think? Let me know somehow. All right, that's the Brandon Drury Podcast. Follow me on Twitter, Brandon_Drury, Drury. I'm everywhere. You can go to BrandonDrury.com, look up all my crap. I do Instagram and stuff sometime. Whatever. Out.